The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Matrix Concepts is not a household name when you think of property companies, but it has won the Forbes Asia 200 Best Under a Billion Award in 2014 and is currently part of the Edge Billion Ringgit Club. I'm Brian Fernandez, and with me is Datuk Muhammad Hasla Amin, Chairman of Matrix Concepts Holdings Berhad. Welcome to the grill, Datuk.
Thank you, Brian. Good morning.
Affordable housing is top of mind for home buyers, the government and property developers. How do you address the issue of affordable housing?
Affordable housing has got different perspective with different place. But in Negeri Sembilan, we are talking about houses below 300,000 to be affordable. We as a developer has always been creating this niche. You can even call us that we are a developer for affordable housing. Most of our houses that we have done over the past, when we started this project, are all affordable housing. That is priced below 100,000. There are about 4,000.
Below 100,000?
Yes.
Oh.
That was when we first started. So 90% of these buyers are basically Bumiputra buyers. Yeah. As we move along, and the demand of the property has also increased, we have priced our link houses now, currently, is about 500,000, 600,000. These are also affordable by KL standard. But for Seremban standard, is like on the higher end. We plan as a developer to continue this affordable housing because we feel that the demand for such a product is always there. And we also feel that this is our responsibility as a developer in Negeri Sembilan to provide affordable housing to all the people of Negeri Sembilan. We are, in fact, launching 3,000 units with a GDV of 1 billion by the third quarter of this year. And these houses that we plan to launch is going to be priced, the double-story link, not more than 300,000, and the single-story link will be less than 200,000. And I feel that this property will be snapped up when we launch it.
What are your thoughts on how affordable housing should be defined nationwide?
As I mentioned earlier, that different people, or rather different states, has got different perspective on housing. I, as a Negeri Sembilan developer, would definitely answer the call of the state policies. There are two distinct things that we, as developers in Negeri Sembilan, that are different from the developers from other states. Number one, 50% of our houses must be sold to Bumiputras, all right? So this is a state policy, and we have proven it over time that today, after building, I don't know how many thousands of houses, I can tell you that 60% of our buyers are Bumiputras, 40% are non-Bumiputras. We are constantly keeping that target, yeah? The second thing is, Negeri Sembilan, we come out with a definition of affordable housing that to be in the range of 300,000. So we want to keep it that way because, like I say, we also look at it as part of our CSR, being a responsible developer for Negeri Sembilan. And we have first answered the call of the Datuk Menteri Besar to make sure that the policies in place is intact. And secondly, this is a giving back to the people of Negeri Sembilan. So I think, and I hope, that we should be able to hold on to these policies as we move forward.
Dato, how are you able to sell affordable 300,000 ringgit double-storey houses, but at the same time deliver after-tax net profit of 28%?
You see, the cost of construction, you know, irrespective of whether you say that cement price has gone up or whatever thing has gone up, I don't think, when you talk in terms of value, that the cost has increased more than 5%. So the key here is the land cost. As a rule of thumb, the land cost normally should not be more than 20% of the total cost. But in our case, our land cost is far below than that. The other aspect is the construction. The construction is being done in-house. We have our own construction company. So we are more efficient in terms of managing our resources. In fact, just to add on, that we have just entered into a joint venture with a Japanese company to do IBS construction, which is a way forward that is being promoted by the government. In fact, the factory is now under construction. With IBS, the delivery will be faster and the average cost over the number of units will be cheaper. So that will also help us to at least maintain all our profit to be about 20% minimum, yeah?
You mentioned industrialized building system as one of your strategies to cut costs. Why is there resistance from other developers to adopt the system?
You see, Malaysians are Malaysians. Okay, when you buy a house, you always want to renovate. IBS system, you cannot knock it down. All right, this is one of the things about IBS system. The second thing is, in IBS system, there are so many systems in the market. One of the major complaints is leaking, the joints and things like that. Yeah. So I think because of that, coupled with the demand from the buyers, people are basically worried that it's not something good for them. So we are aware about this. So what we have done is we have looked at a system where we can guarantee you that there will be no leaking for 10 years. We will also modify the system to tell you that if you need to do renovation, you must know at which area. We provide that. The third thing is the system that we are using, we have to market it to get acceptance by the people first. So how we will approach is, we will tell you what is our system. And then we'll tell you, this system will be used in our next launching.
I see. So you're basically educating your your home buyers about the benefits of it and also then the translation of cost.
Yeah, so this is important, Brian. You know why? I think we cannot live with the availability of foreign laborers. Yeah? Sometimes I think as an industry, we have to upgrade ourselves to do what other people in a modern country do. So we are actually very proactive in this. So we want to basically move up so that we don't have to depend, like I said, on the foreign labors in a bigger scale, which I think is not good for the country over the long term.
You mentioned that your land costs are significantly lower than the industry norm of 20% of GDV. Can you share the secrets of acquiring land cheaply?
Okay, when we started this project, I can zero into Senayan. It is an abandoned project. So there was some pre-arrangement with the landowners at that time at what price that we're supposed to pay.
I believe it was with Malaysian Helicopter. Took over that project,
yes.
Right?
Yes. So when we revised this, this is to go back a little bit, yeah? Where the settlement with the settlers was partly in cash and partly in kind. Yeah, so basically what they were given is a single-story 10,000 square feet bungalow, a 2-acre of land, plus cash 50%, which is normally about $500,000. So that's how we started. So because of that, our land cost is actually marginally lower. And we have capitalized on this. And coupled with the efficiency of the construction side, we have been able to deliver houses at a much lower cost.
Where are you looking to acquire more land? And what is your acquisition criteria?
I think we have acquired a few hundred acres around Senayan that be a continuity of the whole area. So our land bank currently will take us easily to 2026. But if you include the commercial portion, I think it's good for another 10 to 15 years. On top of that, our Kluang, we are looking at the surrounding land, if possibility of expanding the Kluang one, because we feel that there is still some good demand there. We also have KL in Puchong and a piece of land behind PW2C that we are actually planning and submission of plans. And it should be, I think, by the next quarter, first quarter of 2018, I think we should get it done. We also have a project in Australia, Melbourne, which is 80% taken and should be delivering those units by end of this year, by Christmas, I guess.
Are there any plans to acquire land in Australia since you already have a project there?
You see, the Australian market is not a fantastic market, if you ask me personally. This is our first foray into Australia. Basically, it's not a big development, but it is to help us to understand the Australian market. I think the simple truth is, I don't think a market can be sustained if there is no strong domestic demand. I can't be depending on all the immigrants or foreign buyers to buy, you know. That's number one. Number two, the housing industry in Indonesia, Australia is very efficient, I can say. And you never get your money until the project is completed.
Yeah, you have to pay a down payment of 10% first, and then I think the developer gets it, gets the rest of the money when the project is completed.
Correct. If you look over the two issues that I mentioned to you, does it make sense for us to continue in Melbourne or take the same amount of investment and put it in Malaysia where we can make about 28%. That's the basic question. And if you look in the Malaysian market, we have always have a situation where the demand will exceed the supply. It's a question of which price level that you want to go in. So we take an in-depth study about this, and I think we will come out with our strategic views as we move along.
We've been speaking to Dato' Mohamad Haslah Amin, chairman of Matrix Concepts Holdings Berhad. In just a bit, we will be talking about Matrix Concepts and their link to 1MDB. Stay with us on BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
I'm Brian Fernandez, and I'm speaking to Dato' Mohamad Haslah Amin, chairman of Matrix Concepts Berhad. Dato', tell us about the Malaysian Vision Valley and how it impacts your developments.
Malaysian Vision Valley is a very ambitious project that will cover an area of about 15,000 acres that will span from Nilai, including our piece of land in Senayan, right up to Port Dickson. This project is basically undertaken by Sime Darby together with Bransfield Senjambrad. The first phase of the project will involve 5 billion allocation as announced by our Prime Minister during the last budget. And this 5 billion is basically going to be used to do infrastructure. You see, the connectivity out of this infrastructure, you know, is going to make Negeri Sembilan a totally different proposition. It's going to be like the Greater Klang Valley or Kuala Lumpur. We in Bandar Senayan will benefit tremendously because they are starting, whereas we are only 10 years ahead of them. We even now like to say that the future CBD of Vision Valley is going to be at Bandar Senayan. So that is why in planning for the commercial area in Bandar Senayan, we have to be very careful in terms of our planning because we want to look at a concept of 10 years forward at least, whatever we want to put there. Yeah. So this actually is a project which I feel that is being initiated by the state and the federal government that is going to transform Negeri Sembilan into one of the most modern states in Malaysia. That is my take on this. Yeah.
When you speak about connectivity, are you referring to the proposed high-speed rail station at Labu?
This is just one of the connectivity. But the more important thing is the various highways that is going to run through Seremban. Okay, as it is, we have Lekas, we have Plus, and we have Elite connecting us. There is a new highway that is going to go behind our land, right up to KLIA. You know, and it will take you only about 10 minutes to be at KLIA. There is another connectivity that will take from Nilai that will run to the other side that can take you straight away to Kuala Pilah, Jelebu, you know, and not to mention all the ring road that is being constructed and some of which is ready in this town itself.
Bandar Seri Sendayan was supposed to host an Air Force base that would be built by 1MDB in exchange for the Sungai Besi land. Tell us about your involvement with 1MDB.
All right. I think as far as we are concerned, when we heard about the Sungai Besi land, the TDM in Sungai Besi, they want to move, reallocate themselves. So we offered our land. They like it and they bought 700 acres. I think the whole master planner of this thing is 1MDB because they were the one that is supposed to turn Bunga Bandar Sungai Besi into Bandar Malaysia. And at the same time, it's their responsibility to reallocate TUDM to Senayan. All right? That is as far as our dealing with 1MDB is concerned. It's a very straightforward sales and purchase of the land. Yeah, and we believe that when we look at the development today at the TUDM base, I think there are over 100 buildings within that area. And I was told that they were going to have about 8,000 personnel. And under by a normal rule of thumb, we should be looking about a population growth of about 32,000, 8 times 4. Yeah, so that will help us to spring the liveliness of Bandar Seri Senayan.
Have buyers of affordable housing been shortchanged by property developers for profits?
No, I think we have been shortchanging the buyers of affordable homes. Because of the high price of land, a lot of developers, you see, I cannot be speaking on behalf of them, but that we notice, yeah? They try to do their affordable housing at the corners, you know, the locality, yeah? We have a different take on this. When we set aside 100 over acres of land to do these 3,000 units, we make sure that we provide the same facilities as what we have provided at Bandar Senayan. We do not want them to be seen. They are actually all affordable house buyers at the far corner. We don't. So we integrate them into our township. But as you see, this is the same problem that when we do low-cost housing those days, we always send them to God-forsaken place. I think this is a wrong strategy. Yeah, because these are, we are providing houses for Malaysians. We should give them the same thing. There shouldn't be any differentiation. Yeah, I think everybody has a right to have a good shelter. So we try our best to meet that, Brian.
And what do you think the government can do to push developers really to provide affordable housing?
These are just some personal opinions that I will express. You see, people normally, you see, the rule has always been there that every development in excess of certain number of acres, you have to provide affordable housing. The rule has always been there. But sometimes, land is a state matter. You see, and when you come to the state matter, there are times where the developer will say, this land is too pricey, we promise to do you at another place. And a lot of times, people will basically do this high-end housing first, and when it comes to the last of doing the affordable house, they don't want to do it. All right?
That's very true.
That is why, I tell you, that is why when we, and in the government of Negeri Sembilan under our Dato' MB, Dato' Sri Muhammad Hassan, yeah, have come out with this policy that we say we don't want the segregation of this Bumiputras or affordable housing. They must be part of the development. That is why to circumvent this, they come out with a policy that 50% of your launches, you must give it to the Bumiputra first. Of course, if 1 year or 2 years down the road, you can't sell it, then maybe we can always appeal back to the state. Yeah. But with that condition in place, you have no choice because you have to run the development at the same time. I think this is one way that I think is very effective. And I believe the federal government, through the housing ministry, should seriously look at the Negeri Sembilan model because I find it that we can still make money out of that and we, at the same time, offer the buyers with all the options. Yeah?
Your financial performance since your listing has been very good. 2012 saw revenues of 456 million and profit after tax of 103 million. In 2006, you've got revenues of 912 million and profit after tax of 260 million, essentially a 28% after-tax margin. And you pay dividends of 6%. What is the secret sauce for Matrix Concepts' success?
Hard work. I would say that we are a very focused developer. We are a very focused developer in the sense that we are very particular in terms of our costs. We are very particular in terms of our profitability. I agree with you that the journey that we take after since the listing in 2013 has been a long one. Since that day, I think when I told people that we are paying dividend up to 40%, I know that the investors was very skeptical about it, but we have never failed to do this since the day we go listing. So, as you mentioned, the yield is about 6%. Dividend are paid every quarter. At the same time, we are the only company that, coming to 4 years of listing, we have given our shareholders 3 bonus issues, including that we have been approved at the board and we'll be taking it to the AGM in August. So I think it's a fantastic thing that we have done. And I think people is beginning to believe our story. And I believe that as a developer, we never want to shortchange our investors. We want to give you the best. We want to share with you our success. This is the same thing that we do with our staff. So this is the key to make it a successful company, one. The other thing that we're looking at, we are very particular in terms of our land costs. We keep our gearing very low. We have got enough ammunition to go and buy anything, but we never rush. So we are always looking at the bottom line. Now, I like to mention that the founder of this company, Dato' Lee Tan Hock, who is also the main shareholder, is a very business proactive guy. He's a very charitable guy. And we always believe in the giving back to society. Of course, the priority will be people in Negeri Sembilan first. And I think we don't just say it, we also display it. And I can cite you many cases where we have done this. Perhaps when our annual report comes out soon, you can take a look at all the details.
I'm looking forward to that. Is one of the key ingredients for your success political connections since you were once Menteri Besar Incorporated CEO?
I don't think there is any political connection in this. Yeah, you are right. I was the Menteri Besar CEO, Menteri Besar Incorporation CEO, because at that time, I was basically entrusted by the Datuk Menteri Besar to help revive the project in Senayan. Because this is his election pledge. He needs it to be settled. And I can tell you, it was a tough job, but we get it done. Other than that, there is no political inclination within metrics and the state government. But the only benefit we have is that we are the biggest developer in the Greece Milan. Naturally, an obedient developer also. So we basically can get things organized and try to work with the state as close as possible for the benefit of the state, for the benefit of the people in the Greece Milan. You see, I think it's a two-way relationship that benefit each other. I think the fact that I was in MBI, my relationship with the state was quite close. So we can basically, like any Malaysian business, you need this kind of relationship in order to prosper. But I can tell you that it has never been a one-way traffic because the benefit will be reflective to all in the Greece Milan.
Dato' Haslah, it was a pleasure having you on The Breakfast Grill. That was Dato' Mohamad Haslah Amin, Chairman of Matrix Concepts Holdings Berhad, and you are with BFM 89.9.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.